We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Oh, let's do it. The juice is being brought. What would you rather have? What would you rather have? What kind of issues would you rather have in Houston? Would you like to have the issues that we just heard Perloff talking about with the Dallas Cowboys, where Jerry Jones is openly despised by the entire fan base? Or would you like to have the kind of technical difficulties that Sean Pendergast and myself are having right now? Sean is he's rocketing up Buffalo Speedway towards the studio right now. We've got technical difficulties at the stadium. Somebody unplugged the damn broadcast over the weekend while we were sleeping peacefully at home watching the Astros get swept by the A's. Okay, that's a little bit of an issue. I think I might prefer having Jerry Jones-type problems than whatever the hell's going on with the Astros. We'll get into all of that this morning. Sean is on his way back to the studio as we have some technical difficulties out at the stadium. The big news this weekend was Ian Rappaport reporting on Joe Mixon, who we know in the offseason had been wearing a boot for a good chunk of time, hasn't been out there practicing so far. Here's Ian Rappaport on Joe Mixon's foot/ankle injury.
Sources tell me that he is now expected to be out an extended period of time. He is dealing with a foot injury, has been in a walking boot, has been dealing with this actually for the last several months. Joe Mixon is on the non-football injury list, so this is not something that he did in camp. It is something that happened in the offseason that he came into camp with, and I know there was some initial discussion maybe Joe Mixon will be back soon. My understanding is extended period of time, and he'll be reevaluated closer to week one. So, yeah, I would say there is a chance that Joe Mixon is not on the field week one for the Texans. They signed Nick Chubb. They have several other running backs. Damian Pierce is one. They drafted one. But certainly some questions surrounding Joe Mixon's availability.
God help me if this was a jet ski accident. A non-football, if this was a jet ski accident, you'll lose all sympathy from one Seth C. Payne. But likely, let's assume it was some kind of a workout or whatever it might be. Listen, we're sitting in a situation where the Astros have more people on the IL than anybody in the 100 plus year history of baseball. At least that's what it feels like. You know, back in the day, they didn't have an IL. They said, hey, listen, I fought in World War I. You think I'm gonna let a couple of amputated toes just keep me from playing baseball? God no. So the Astros have a whole bunch of guys on the IL. We've had mystery injuries with both the Astros and the Texans now, and we're all getting a little bit tired of it. As Rappaport points out, the Texans do have multiple different backup options. And I know a lot of people this weekend were freaking out, or at least wondering, hey, why weren't the Texans more aggressive in addressing the running back situation this offseason? And it reminds me of last year when people were really angry that the Texans weren't more aggressive addressing the safety position. Why do you not spend loads of money at a relatively blue-collar position all over the place in the offseason? Because because last year it was safety, you drafted Kalen Bullock. This year, yes, everybody would love to have what the Saints used to have back in the day when at any given time they had four starting running backs on the roster. It's not, in my opinion, the best way to spend your money. And running back is, it's awesome if you have a guy you feel great about, but then after that, you don't want to necessarily be spending a whole lot of money on backups. And Nick Chubb is very much a huge question mark. We don't know if we're going to see anything close to the peak version of Nick Chubb and what he used to be, or perhaps a more mediocre version of him. Damian Pierce and Woody Marks, the draft pick. So last year, the Texans drafted Kalen Bullock. That ended up being your answer at safety. This year, hopefully Woody Marks in this new offense, and this is crucial to every single running back out there, if an offensive line is functioning like, let's just say, even an average NFL offensive line, you'll see why, okay, you don't bend over backwards trying to spend money on backup running backs, because it's largely a stock position that you can go out and get with a trade during training camp, with roster cutdowns and whatever it might be. We're kind of scarred as a fan base from having watched the Texans last year just be so incapable of preventing defenders into the backfield that it seemed like it took a superhuman effort from Joe Mixon at times just to get back to the line of scrimmage. So a lot of this just hinges on, can the Texans offensive line be credible run blockers? Can they be credible, passable in pass protection? And then backup running back isn't as big a deal. You can get by with a few guys. You know, Juwan Jordan's been doing some good things out at practice. This is what you have to know about Juwan Jordan. He's smaller than Stephon Diggs. He's literally smaller than Stephon Diggs. So he can be part of a committee and part of a pass receiving threat, but certainly somebody that can fill in for a few days or a few weeks if Joe Mixon is out. My concern would be, all right, is this a longer-term deal with Joe Mixon? And then does Damian Pierce, who averaged over 5 yards a carry last year, he just didn't get that many reps, but looked good when the Texans did things that I think Nick Haley's going to do, a lot more gap and man scheme blocking, just old school, double team a defensive tackle up into the back of up into the lap of a linebacker, and Sean T. Pendergast or Seth C. Payne could get 3 yards and a cloud of dust and likely a lot of blood and broken ligaments at some point if we were in there in the backfield. That's ideally what you get, is somebody that can just flat out, can you actually just execute the offense? That goes to Nick Haley, and what kind of an offensive coordinator is he going to be? This is Nick Haley last week when talking to the press and asked about guys adjusting to the new scheme.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of things you do. There's discipline, there's mental toughness in terms of being precise with motions, being precise and breaking the huddle with a clean operation, whether it's cadence, changing up cadences, whether it's putting guys in different spots that, you know, mixing some different formations that they may have to, you know, run the same concept for multiple formations. So it taxes you mentally too, not just physically.
This is what got me excited about that. Old Sethers got super pumped up when he talked about mixing up cadences. Do you understand how much a hard count helps a quarterback? Oh, my gosh. And yet, it's difficult when you have an offensive line that at various times last year was on a record pace for false starts or pre-snap penalties, largely because of Laremy Tunsil. Let's be honest about it. But they just could not execute. So when the pre-snap operation is so decrepit, is so awful, then when you can't handle the very basics, you don't give CJ Stroud the tools to manipulate the defense. The offensive linemen He used to drive me crazy as a defensive lineman when I would watch one of the Texans' offensive line, the iterations in any given year, have a hard time just getting the snap off during practice. Because as a defensive lineman, you know, man, a hard count, just being able to go on two or three, dummy counts, all of these things make the defense show their hand. All of those things, these simple things that you can execute just by crisp execution of the offense. No matter what the scheme is, whether you're an outside zone, gap scheme, whatever, you don't even have to get technical about it. A crisp operation pre-snap makes life really, really difficult for the defense. And that's one thing I've been excited about, where all we've been doing is talking, philosophizing about offense and what Nick Caley might be. None of it matters until they actually get out on the field and do it today in pads. So today's really big for the offense because they haven't looked all that great running the ball, but it's in no pads. So Nick Caley hammers over and over again the fundamentals, the execution. Bobby Slowik used to talk about execution like it was just something that he outsourced to the players and expected it to get done. Like he had hired the players on Fiverr or Upwork or something and thought, well, okay, I've got a brilliant scheme. Now all I have to do is bring in some hired hands and they'll get it done, which is bogus. The offensive coordinator is responsible for execution. Sean T. Pendergast, for those of you joining us, is rocketing. I'm guessing he's almost at Greenway Plaza right now, breaking all kinds of traffic violations. Any of our law enforcement officers who listen to the show, please give Sean a pass. If anything, give him a police escort as he's on his way back to the station after having technical difficulties out at the stadium. Tune in. Stay tuned through the break, because 5-6 minutes from now, we might have Sean T. Pendergast. We might not. It's a big mystery. Payne and Pendergast. Hey, you're listening to Payne and Pendergast in the morning. Sean asked me, hey, Seth, what'd you tease during that first segment? I was like, that would require professional at the helm. I teased whether or not you were going to be back.
All right, let's pay off. Let's pay off on the tease.
Yes,
I'm
Sean's back, everybody.
I'm back. Yeah, technical issues out at the yard. How you doing, buddy?
Good. I was all excited to. I was going to do my top 40 radio voice for, if you weren't back. We're like, you're listening to Payne and Pendergast in the morning.
Spinning the hits. Spinning the hits. Yeah, you sounded good. So I'm driving back from the stadium just now, and I'm listening, and I tune into Sports Radio 610. I'm like, I like the cut of this guy's jib. This Seth Payne. He's good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was, luckily, the reason I started a YouTube channel was almost specifically so I'd get more comfortable doing solo
triage
stuff. And, if a situation arose as we just had. Did you get the law enforcement escort the way I had requested?
No, I was nervous. You know, the way that we come back here to the studio is going up Buffalo Speedway, where the law enforcement of which you speak are very vigilant about the speeds. I'm like, if I get...
It's a very ironically named and patrol street.
Yes.
They call it the Speedway, and it's one of the most aggressively enforced segments in Houston. Yeah.
So you know, with all due respect to everybody involved, I didn't drive the speed limit, but I drove at a speed where I wouldn't get a speeding ticket. I'm like, there's no way that on top of everything that's gone on this morning, I'm piling a speeding ticket on top of this stuff. No.
I've met some West U cops that I think, you know, there's enough listeners of Payne and Pendergast that I think they might have done you a solid.
They would have known
just
the deal.
If you had resisted and not complied, especially if you'd gone full Karen on them. Do you know who I am?
No.
Officer, I am feeling threatened.
Do you want to know why I'm heading up there right now? Put on Sports Radio 610. Listen.
Yeah.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did. Yeah. I did. I had a good time. We talked about Joe Mixon's injury a little bit
in the first
segment. And I'm trying like hell to not be overly concerned about it. Listen, I freaked out about CJ Stroud's sore shoulder. Yeah. I know. And it wasn't to try to be a shock jock or anything.
Yeah.
I was genuinely nervous about CJ Stroud's shoulder. And now with Joe Mixon in a walking boot, for a non-football injury, that was the only thing that bothered me the most about all of it. I hope it wasn't a jet ski or something like that. I hope it was while he was working out. But we're coming off of a season in which Joe Mixon required superhuman efforts at times just to get 1 or 2 yards or even get back to the line of scrimmage. So I think we, as a fan base, I think we've kind of forgotten that, oh, yeah, Running back is kind of a stock position these days, unless you've got a good one. But you don't need to have a three deep that you feel awesome about, as long as you have offensive linemen who can block. So that's I remain nervous about whether or not the offensive line is going to be competent this year.
My big saving grace in the Joe Mixon thing, Seth, is he didn't practice at all last year either. And he was the offensive player of the week in week one. You know, like he did nothing in training camp last year because of whatever I forget what his injury was last year. But he didn't do anything in training camp last year, and then he runs for $160 on the Colts in week one. So I'm more worried about what the actual injury is than the fact that he's missing practice time right now.
Right, yeah, if we didn't know anything about an injury and they were just holding Joe Mixon out, you'd say, well, that's what they do with running backs who are in their upper 20s these days, which being in the upper 20s, the running back is kind of like being a 55-year-old in real life. Sure, you can still do a lot of impressive stuff at work, but you got to be careful. You got to pace yourself, you know?
Yes.
You can't quite have the 2 bottles of wine per night that you did in your youth.
Oh, man. You're right. And in your 50s, that's what it gets like. That's a good conversion chart that you've got right there for that. Yeah, so mix it. But I'll tell you what, we'll talk about this more at 7 o'clock when we do some winners and losers from training camp. Huge opportunity for these young backs right now to get some rep. Like, Jawar Jordan is getting more touches than anybody at camp right now, including Nick Chubb. Chubb's running with the ones, but Jawar Jordan is getting a ton of work right now.
Do you know, my biggest concern with Joe Mixon being out really is more the overall injury or availability situation during practice. Because this is, it really struck me as I was walking around this weekend thinking about stuff. I don't care how much they limit the practices or how rarely they're in pads anymore. It's just too long. It's so stupid. It's 6 weeks. Just get your crap together and go out there and play some actual football. So you got to manage the reps and be sure that you're not taking guys like Nick Chubb and giving him more reps than he really should. I feel like with Nick Chubb, especially when he's in a new situation where he's going to be trying to prove himself, you know, and you might say, well, he's already done this, he's already done that. No, man, he's just kind of wired that way. Mm-hmm. The kind of guy that you probably have to force him not to take reps at times. And if you want to get the best out of him, you got to ramp him up very slowly. Damian Pierce and his injury situation, it's just you'd like to see this run game get going, but you also at the same time don't want any one running back to get too many reps for 6 straight weeks before camp begins.
Yep. So Payne and Pendergast, it is officially Payne and Pendergast now. I'm back in studio. We'll be back out there at training camp tomorrow once we get everything fixed today. How much of the Astros did you watch this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Michael Connor is not with another radio station.
He's
right
not.
Now,
no,
is
he's
he?
Not. Huh?
Okay, good.
He does talk about him. He does the podcast for I forget which podcast.
No. I know. I'm about to talk about his podcast. Gotcha. I just wanted to be sure I wasn't also cross promoting. So Michael Connor does the Locked On Astros podcast. At times, he does post games for the Astros. So yesterday, when I was out walking here in Eugene, Oregon, I listened to all his last 3 post games, one by one, all in a row.
That was a joy fest.
And it's a great listen, just to get kind of the, you know, he has some really good opinions and observations, but it was. If you know Michael Connor,
he's salty.
The level of disgust.
Yeah, he's salty.
I got to the point where I start the third podcast. The first podcast I listened to at normal speed, the second one at 1.5 speed, and then the third one at 2x speed because.
Oh, my God.
He was so disgusted that even at 2x speed, it almost sounded like normal pace because he was just, I don't know what the hell they're going to do. You got these guys out here. We're talking about trading for Suarez. Great. Oh, that really gets my juices flowing. Yeah, let's give up a top prospect for Suarez.
Yeah, that was a big, Chandler had a whole, he does like a notebook piece, but his lead was that they've been checking in on Eugenio Suarez with Arizona, who is, as Chandler pointed out, the total opposite of what this Astros team is about right now when it comes to how the game is. Horrible on defense, strikes out a ton, but hits bombs, hits dingers.
So they've been, since Yordan went out, you know, before this series, I don't know where they are now, but they'd actually been an above-average offense. They were scoring 4.5 runs per game or whatever it was, which is a miracle unto itself. Mm-hmm. But As, even as we got wrapped up in the excitement of some of those win streaks, series win streaks and whatnot, you know in the back of your mind that it's not sustainable. And man, did it really hit. Oh, he just the Nick Hertz having a record-setting performance on Saturday. It's all a blur.
It was Friday. It was Friday.
Yeah, okay.
That was Friday. 6 for 6, 4 bombs, 8 RBIs. It was funny the way I think it was Chandler's recap of the game, but the way he recapped it, he's like, yeah, in the first 3 at-bats, Nick Kurtz was a triple away. After 3 at-bats, he was a triple away from the cycle. But he couldn't hit a triple the rest of the day. All he did was hit 3 more home runs after that.
He must have been distraught over that.
If you're gonna miss a cycle, that's the way to do it. Keep hitting bombs.
I love that Chandler basically said, screw this, I'm doing a feature piece on Nick Hertz.
Yeah.
I love reading The Athletic and I love reading Chandler Rome. And it was just hilarious because sometimes when you go to The Athletic, they'll put any article that the Astros are mentioned in, they're going to put on your feed when you say that the Astros are your favorite team.
Yep.
And I saw the picture and the headline and assumed, oh, okay, this is an A's writer. So I'm like, no, Chandler. It was Chandler. They're like, nope, screw it. I'm going to do a feel-good piece on Nick Hertz and his godparents being at the game.
That's true. Yeah, his godparents live in the Woodlands. No, but you could make an argument that that is the greatest offensive game that's ever been put together in the history of baseball. Like, he had 6 hits. He scored 6 runs, which has happened fewer than 10 times in the history of baseball. Someone scoring. See, he scored 6 runs in a game. Hardly ever happens. Got 6 hits in a game. Probably happens a couple times a year, maybe. 4 home runs. That's only happened 20 times in the history. There's been fewer 4 home run games than there have been perfect games by pitchers in the history of baseball. Nick Kurtz is the only rookie to ever do 4 home runs in a game. And he tied the record for total bases in a game with Sean Green, who did it with the Dodgers in 2002. If you're going to go to an Astros game and the Astros are going to get their butts whooped, at least be at one where you watch some history get made. And if you were there on Friday, you watched history. That was an historic performance by Nick Kurtz on Friday. He's really, really good.
It was everybody was so grateful to have been able to watch it.
Dude, I can tell you.
You needed a little help from Cooper Hummel on it, but there you go.
Yeah, the most depressing thing about Nick Kurtz, not the game on Friday. Well, I guess in some ways the game on Friday, because it dredged up all these stats, these benchmarks that he's hitting for a rookie. Like, he's got the second most extra base hits through the first 66 games of a career. Only Joe DiMaggio had more in 19, whatever it was. The most depressing thing is that when they put the lists up for most this and that by a rookie through X amount of games, you know who's right next to him in all these? Yordan Alvarez. From Yordan's rookie year back in 2019. And that is depressing to see, because we have not gotten that version of Yordan in like almost a calendar year now.
Yeah,
we need him.
This is where I am on the trade deadline. I think you have to look at the guys on your IL, the IL, as your trade acquisitions. Those guys coming back, at some point, can I get a Spencer Arrighetti instead of Augusto? Mm-hmm. We're at the breaking point now with some of these guys who have admirably filled in and played above expectations. But at some point, you can't rely on
Seth.
And Brandon Walter gets injured. The one guy that you could have. Okay, look at this, man. The old Astros pitching car wash did it again.
Yeah.
And Brandon Walter is eyes injured.
He's injured. Elbow injury. Yeah. And he's saying things that make people feel better. Until the inflammation goes down, who the hell knows? You know, we've learned that the hard way.
And Paredes' hamstring, lo and behold, hey, it's worse than we thought it was.
Right.
Oh,
right.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Oh, we never could have anticipated that.
It's a big week. It's a big week for Dana Brown. Because the team, it's not a good team right now, obviously. They just got swept by the A's and they got outscored 32-7. They're still 4 games up in the AL West. I mean, the chances of this team making the postseason, making the postseason period, is still a heavy favorite. Winning the division, I think Fangraphs has it at like 54%.
52%.
It's 52%.
54%. Let's say that.
Something like that.
Somewhere about.
A little over 50. So they're a little better than a coin toss. But yeah, they're going to start to get, knock on wood, they're going to start to get some of these guys back. Jeremy Pena swung a bat this weekend. I think I saw that, Seth. I know, huh?
That's one of the important steps on your way back to playing in a Major League Baseball game.
It is. Oh, also, yeah, it's right there with playing catch. Yeah, wake me up when he plays catch. I like hearing that. That's my favorite report. So
I like my favorite report is always hitting off a tee. Yay, he's a 6-year-old.
Good job, you're in kindergarten. Yeah. Way to go.
Not a particularly precocious 6-year-old. No, still a 6-year-old.
No. But as far as the trade deadline goes, the rumors swirling around. We mentioned Suarez of the Astros, according to Chandler Rome. According to sources he has, they've been checking in on Suarez with Arizona. He's among the – I haven't looked at the stats lately. When the Astros were playing them a week ago, he was third in home runs in all of Major League Baseball. So they're sniffing around on him. He brought up the names Will Castro and Brandon Lowe from Minnesota and Tampa Bay, respectively. Jeff Passan of ESPN says the best fit would be Cedric Mullins from Baltimore, who, you know, apparently Baltimore is probably going to be doing a lot of fire sale stuff this week. Mullins is one of a handful of guys, including Charlie Morton, who are in contract years right now. So these would all be rentals. Yeah. You'd be giving something up just to have a guy for a few months, unless you decide to make an offer or keep him around, you know.
I know that last year, look, we were all skeptical, or many of us were very skeptical of the Kikuchi trade. Mm-hmm. And for one, Kikuchi hadn't been pitching all that great. He got here and ended up being awesome. But you also gave up prospects. And now that we've seen exactly how much some of those prospects can help, I mean, we've been seeing it for years and years and years now, but it's just the pipeline is not what she once was, and you've got all of these guys on the IL that would be huge boosts to a team that right now, if they can just play at a .500 clip mm-hmm. for the next couple of weeks,
yeah.
I don't care about playing down to the opponent, up to the opponent. It's going to be random. It's going to be dumb luck. You sweep the Diamondbacks, then you get swept by the A's. You're going to get a lot of that. You're not going to be able to predict from one series to the next over the next couple of weeks whether they look like a double-A team or a major league team.
Nationals in town tonight for a 3-game set. And then I know they've got a Red Sox. They got a couple Red Sox series coming up in the next 2 weeks and a Yankees series. So, yeah, getting any of these guys back would be a big help, especially in that starting rotation, for sure. All right, we're off and running on a Monday. I'm back in studio today. We're getting the technical issues fixed out at Texans training camp, and we'll be back out there. I would imagine we'll be back out there tomorrow for training camp. We'll get to some headlines coming up next, including headlines from camp and also the Astros. A big Astros headline off the field happened over the weekend as well that we will get to. We'll do all that coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, Texans training camp. We are not live out there today. I'm back in studio today. We had some technical issues, but we're getting them fixed. We'll be out there. Not sure if In the Loop will be out there. I scrambled back to my car to come up here just to make sure Payne and Pendergast was okay.
I'm guessing, Sean, yeah, without having actually seen the situation, that it was something was unplugged or something. I'm guessing.
The NFL Network was out there on Saturday, and they were using that stage. So the initial hypothesis is that, not with any malice or intent, but maybe those people did something that messed with our settings out there. Possibly
those highfalutin have huge egos, despite having horrible shows and broadcasts and commentators. Production somehow just usurped all of our needs.
Thanks,
NFL Network.
They dragged Payne and Pendergast in front of a bus, is what they did.
Although they're being acquired by ESPN, right?
Oh yeah, $2 billion.
And then the NFL is going to own part of ESPN.
Yeah,
right?
Did I read that right? Yeah, I'm sure that won't affect the coverage of anything at all. That there's now a fiduciary relationship between the two.
This will be great. Yes. No scandals will be squashed. No. Don't worry about that. Nothing to see here.
That's right.
Yes.
All right, let's get to headlines. You talked about it in the open while I was making my way back here. Joe Mixon might miss all of training camp, it looks like, which would basically be what happened last year. It's just that up until now, there's a lot of mystery as to what this injury is. The only things we know, Seth, Joe Mixon is in a walking boot, and the way that he injured this is being categorized as a non-football injury. We don't know if it's jet skiing or working out in his garage. We have no idea. But it's a non-football injury in a walking boot. And according to Ian Rappaport, he's not going to practice for a long, long time.
I try not to worry about the walking boot too much, because we've seen so many different guys walking around in a walking boot and then be just fine on game day, even during the season. Mm-hmm. Ben Roethlisberger famously.
Yep.
Feels like he wore a walking boot just for the attention.
That's his gimmick, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, I'm in a walking boot. It's going to be the most courageous thing you've ever seen. Oh, yeah. So let me ask you this about Nick Chubb, because you've been out at practice every day. Yeah. And I think maybe Cody Stutes has probably been the most pessimistic about Nick Chubb.
Without question.
But I haven't necessarily heard a lot of other people say that they're all that concerned about him. Is it safe to say that when you've seen Nick Chubb, he doesn't look like the peak version of Nick Chubb?
I think that's safe to say.
He's not like electrifying when he's out there.
He does not pop, is the way I put it.
Yeah.
And when I did either video or in writing, I can't remember which one, but I said he doesn't pop. And obviously he's a different style of back and a different certainly different physically than some of the guys that are running behind him on the depth chart. Like Jawar Jordan, he pops a little bit. He's quick, he's speedy, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that out of Nick Chubb. Today, they're putting on the pads today. Today is a big day for Nick Chubb. If I had to like sort of power rank the guys where this is a big day in terms of making impressions, it's a big day for Nick Chubb, because that's been my caveat. I'm not going to make any judgments on his explosiveness or his speed or what his potential is until I see what it looks like with pads on.
It's tough when you have an injury like he had, which was one of these devastating multi-tendon/ligament injuries a couple years ago. Because you can be back up to full strength in the weight room. You could go out and do some timed drills, do some agility drills, and be the same as what you used to be. But sometimes there's just a neurological disconnect after you've had multiple injuries like that in your career too, where you don't have that same ability to just fire quickly, fire those nerves quickly, fire those muscles quickly. And maybe it just takes a little bit of time. Maybe it's a matter of getting acclimated to the offense. But so far, you got to kind of maybe dampen your expectations a little bit until you actually see it in the flesh.
I think that's well put. I think that's exactly what it is with Nick Chubb. So we'll see out there today. He's not the one I'm most looking forward to seeing in pads. I'll tell you who that is in the 7 o'clock hour. But pads on today for the first time. In the words of Nick Caserio, this is when training camp begins. By the way, Nick Caserio, 7:15 tomorrow, he'll join us live from Texans training camp here on Payne and Pendergast. Nice long conversation tomorrow with the Texans EVP GM. Another Texans note, Janice McNair going into the Ring of Honor. That was announced. It was announced on social media by the Texans. We'll get to the audio of that and acknowledge me. We're going to acknowledge Janice McNair and acknowledge me at 7:20. But they announced it to the fans out in attendance on Saturday, Seth. You could tell it was a little different. Like, this was the first camp with fans out there. So, you know, Cal and Hannah like to do their thing where they walk over and say hi and welcome them and whatnot. And Janice was out there. Other McNair family members are out there, and all the players walk out there to sort of gather around. I'm like, okay, well, this is a little bit different welcome for the fans. And they announced that Janice McNair will be going in alongside her late husband, Bob McNair, in the Ring of Honor on November the 2nd, which is week 9 against Denver. That's the Legends weekend, like the homecoming where everybody comes back into town. So they wanted to do it where the players who are back in town could be part of that.
Yeah, she's just been awesome from the very beginning. And just going back to the expansion draft when there were – we just had a dozen or so dudes on the actual team. You know, Bob McNair and Janice McNair really it felt different than your normal NFL ownership type of situation. The McNairs could have done anything they wanted with their money. They'd made their fortune, and they were just sitting there a few years after the Oilers had left, and basically said, hey, you know what, this city needs a football team.
Yeah.
Let's go out and get them one.
Made it happen. That's amazing.
So it's always been cool. There's Bob, like, they've run it very much like a business and done a great job with the business side of things, but it's been cool because it's not one of those old guard family-owned teams, which I'm happy about because some of those things get pretty dysfunctional, like the Bengals.
Yep.
But it's kind of a good blend between the new and the old with the McNairs.
Agreed.
And Janice has been a huge part of it.
We'll acknowledge her in...
Mrs. McNair. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Mrs. McNair.
Sorry.
She wouldn't care if I called her Janice.
I don't think she would either.
It felt disrespectful to say that. Yeah.
All right. We'll acknowledge her in the 7:20 segment. Acknowledge me. We just got done talking about the Astros getting swept by the A's. I don't know that we need to go through the autopsy of that. They got outscored 32-7. This truly felt like one of those weekends where all of the injuries came back to roost. Like, they can't score runs. They're throwing guys out there. Like, Hunter Brown actually pitched pretty well in his outing. That was the one big takeaway. Like, the positive I'll take away was he was better than he was the last three outings that he had.
Even Colton Gordon, I mean, the bar is lowered, but he ends up giving up the 4 runs even yesterday. And I'm like,
just give us a shot.
The old college try is only going to go so far with this game. Brandon Walter might have been the thing that broke my psyche the most. Yeah. Brandon Walter is injured with some kind of elbow discomfort, which they're all saying is no big deal. Don't worry about it. Yeah, we've been through that song and dance before.
Yep.
We'll see.
Drayton McLean and Jim Crane settled their legal differences over the regional sports network that was part of the Astros portfolio about a decade or so ago, CSN Houston. I was very disappointed that they settled. I wanted a knockdown drag out between two billionaires covered daily. We were sitting on a possibility of like 3 weeks of testimony. I know it's a business topic. It's not, you know, it's probably I wanted Drayton McLean and Jim Crane to square off in court. They settled their legal differences, and it's confidential, whatever the settlement is. I don't even get the satisfaction of knowing who won this damn thing.
I love watching aging billionaires just going at it, and Drayton McLean older than, you know, Jim Crane is still in his prime in a lot of respects as a business person, but it always reminds me of There Will Be Blood, the movie.
Yeah.
Where just, I like thinking of these billionaires as dudes that would bash a dude's head in with a bowling ball at the age of 89. They're never going to give up the fight. Hey, you keep fighting, Drayton McLean.
It feels like if the feel of the whole thing, like they had one day of testimony. George Pistolas, who used to be the president of the Astros, and I'm guessing, I think like this regional sports network, I think it was portrayed like it was his brainchild back in the day, like in the early 2000s. He had like 4 hours on the stand the first day. I'm like, all right, this is going to be good. We're going to get people on the stand. And then the next day they settle. And I just picture like Jim Crane and Drayton McLean just looking at each other like, do you have the energy for any of this right now? Nah. All right. What do you say? You know, and they write it on a cocktail napkin and they hand it in.
Yeah, I would love that this happened over a bottle of whiskey or something.
Yeah.
That'd be the can you do a good movie version of this for me, please?
Yeah, man. All right, we got a lot to get to still here in the second hour of the program. With you till 8 o'clock this morning, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. We're four practices in, four winners, four losers, some names that you guys have probably been hearing out of camp that are popping, a couple of them a little bit under the radar, and a few folks that need to get their performance squared away with the quickness here, especially with pads going on. We'll get to all that. A lot to get to. Acknowledge me at 7:20. It's Payne and Pendergast. Stay there.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A quick text message. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. We're in studio today. Technical issues out of Texans training camp. We'll be back out there tomorrow. Astros need to trade Framber and get something for him before he leaves for nothing. I don't like your attitude, sir or ma'am. You're not trading Framber. Trading Framber is a white flag on the season. They're not doing that. They're not trading Framber Valdez this week. Sorry. I bet they're getting phone calls. I bet they are getting phone calls about him.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, it would have to be a brilliantly fantastical deal for current major league players, and it could happen, but I'm very doubtful, and it's not something I desire.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, despite everything that's happened, and however many pitchers and position players are on the IL, they have the most in the league. Is it up to 18? Is 18,
it's 18
the number?
It's 18.
It's like watching the stock market. 18, I can't tell you from one day to the next.
18 is the number, which also, by the way, is the same number of games in a row that the opponent has scored first on the Astros.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
You go back over some of the improbable win streaks or some of the really bad losses, and it just all boils down to, how's your starting pitching doing?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the bullpen was going to come back down to earth a little bit at some point, if only because of overuse.
Yeah.
But if you can get six good innings out of your starter, you've got a chance.
Yeah.
Even with this lineup, that you've got a good chance of winning that game. So if you want to actually do something as guys start to come back from injuries and maintain this lead in the division, that's my trade deadline move this year. Two things. One, you don't trade Framber.
Yeah.
And two, guys come back from the IL.
Yes.
I don't know, whoever they might be, if a third of the guys on the IL right now come back in the form of a Pena, Jordan, whomever it might be, that you're a better baseball team and you can maintain that lead in the division.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how much this Paredes news on the hamstring being more severe than they thought plays into the next 4 days and what happens between now and Thursday. You know, how much do they Dana Brown had been somewhat choosy about the type of bat. He's like, well, we're looking for a lefty bat, preferably an infielder. You're missing Isak Paredes at third base right now. The version of Jordan you're going to get back, we don't know what that's going to look like, because even he said he might still. Pena, I feel like he'll be fine. It's a broken rib. It'll heal. He's swinging a bat already. It may be at a point, Seth, now where it's not like it has to be a lefty bat. It's just like you need enough capable major league bats to make a postseason run eventually in October.
I've seen a lot of people clamoring to just trade Yiner and go with Caratini and let him be your guy. This is what makes me really nervous about that. What Caratini is doing at the plate this year is in an environment where he's often the only left-handed bat out there. And you have to take some of the success with a grain of salt, in that pitchers are seeing eight righties in a row and then all of a sudden having a lefty thrown out there when he's switch hitting.
Yeah.
And great. Yiner is still a younger guy with upside and has done some very promising thing. I wish both of those guys were better at holding runners, throwing to second.
Yeah.
The pitchers are complicit in that. I mean, this team is horrendous. As many things as they do well defensively, they just cannot hold runners on the base.
Yeah. They're not I mean, Yiner's young and cheap and he's got upside.
Yeah.
And they'd be selling a stock when it's bottomed out. So, but it's going to be an interesting few days, man. It's Thursday, 5:00 Central PM, 5:00 local time is the trade deadline. So, we've got you covered on that. We've also got you covered on Texans training camp. All right. So, some names that have kind of popped here through the early part of training camp, Seth, winner and loser style. We'll do this here. Four practices, four winners, four losers. I'm going to kind of combine this one, but we talked about the Joe Mixon news earlier in the program. Joe Mixon, whatever this injury is that he's walking around with a walking boot on, is going to be bad enough, according to Ian Rappaport, where it sounds like he's going to miss most of training camp, and then they're going to check him week one. I don't think there's a guarantee he's back for week one or anything like that, is what it sounds like. I'm going to put Jawar Jordan and Woody Marks in the same bullet point here. They're going to get a ton of action over these next several practices. Jawar Jordan is getting more touches than any running back out there. So just the sheer opportunity level for these guys, for one of the, well, Woody Marks is going to make the team. He's a fourth round pick that they traded. They purposefully went and got him in the draft. So he's going to make the team. Jawar Jordan's sitting on a huge opportunity right now to get a bunch of reps and make an impression in a running back room where he was, the storyline with the running back room, once they signed Nick Chubb, was like, all right, well, one of Damian Pierce or Dario Gumbawale is going to be gone. They just don't have enough spots in that room. Jawar Jordan's name didn't even show up on the radar. He's getting a ton. He's number 22 if you're out at camp, you know, if you're going out there today. And he obviously a draft pick from last year, but he'd been off the team and then on the team and then injured. This is a huge opportunity for him these next couple of weeks.
And I think by virtue of what the Texans did with Woody Marks in the draft, where they traded up to go get Woody Marks, and Woody Marks is he's a receiving running back. Not that he can't play all three downs. He's kind of small to be an all-purpose guy, but there's ways that you could totally see him potentially being an all-purpose guy. But they want to use their running backs in the receiving game. So Jawar Jordan fits in really well. If that's what they like to do and give CJ that option to where you're not just checking down to the running back, but the running backs are actually a threat in the receiving game, then you could see Jawar Jordan totally having a better chance at making the squad and producing this year than perhaps they did last year.
Yep. Woody Marks had a couple real nice catches on Saturday at practice. One over the middle, pass thrown behind him, showed really nice hands. He's having a good couple practices. Number three, so that's number four. Number three, Solomon Bird. If you've been following any of the reviews of camp, Solomon Bird, he's a six-round pick from a year or so ago out of USC. He has been flashing quite a bit. And again, that's also a really crowded room. Defensive line is especially defensive end where Solomon Bird plays. I mean, I'll just rattle them off. Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Daryl Taylor, Danico Autry, Derek Barnett, Dylan Horton. You know, that's six right there before you even get to Solomon Bird. But Solomon Bird, again, if you're going out there, he's number 50. He has been doing a lot of good things. A lot now, to be fair, a lot of the defensive line has been doing a lot of good things against the Texans offensive line throughout the training camp so far.
Yeah, that's what I remember last year we got excited about a lot of defensive linemen because they were doing so well against the Texans offensive line. And it ended up being a bad look. Solomon Bird's a really interesting one, and I've been in his corner ever since the Texans drafted him, and I watched him play because he was very polished by college pass rusher standards. And yet at the same time, doesn't really have glistening athletic traits, but he's very mature. He was in college for 6 years. He's been married with kids for a while now. Like he's a full grown man, and you can tell that he's worked at his game. He just doesn't have those athletic traits that would make him really exciting. But there have been many guys in NFL history who have played above and beyond their athletic traits, obviously. Because they can just put it all together. So that's a guy that I'm trying not to get too excited about it because it's been in no pads.
Yeah.
And it's been against a Texans offensive line that we still don't know whether they're going to be acceptable or not.
Dude, and yet
I'm in his corner, Sean.
He's in a room full of freaks. That's the problem. You know, like when you're the least good-looking guy out of a good-looking group of buddies, you know, like you go out on the town and like, the women are all talking to them. None of them come up and talk to me. You probably don't know about that, Seth, I would imagine, but I can say a thing
no,
or two.
I know because my brother looked like an Abercrombie and Fitch
your brother's
a good-looking
worker.
Growing up, so I kind of had to do it with my personality, Sean.
That's right. Well, that's what Bird is having to do it with. Solomon Bird is getting it done with personality, the equivalent of that, because he's in a room with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and hell, dude, even Dylan Horton. Like, if you just like Dylan Horton, it looks freaky out
He's
at camp.
Just so big,
yeah. It's good.
Dylan Horton was fun. I remember his rookie year because he didn't get that many snaps, and yet every time, it was always a reminder. He'd show up in a game and make a really manly play. Mm-hmm. And you're like, who the hell? Oh yeah, Dylan Horton.
Yep.
And then he went and got cancer and came back from stage 4 cancer.
Right, yeah.
And then still did the same thing last year. There would be times where he'd show up and I'm like, oh yeah, Dylan Horton. Wow.
He's
bringing his lunch pail to work.
out on Saturday. I forget who I was talking to, but Dylan Horton's, you know, he's on the sidelines kind of close to us. I'm like, boy, if you played a game like pick the former cancer patient, you would get to that guy probably last. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he just looks he's in really good shape. It's great to see.
He's making cancer look really stupid.
He's destroying cancer right now. Cancer is getting killed. Number two, Davis Mills. Davis Mills has had a really, really good camp. And even with the even when the offense has struggled, Davis Mills has made a few throws each day. He's, you know, so I'm not saying there's a quarterback controversy or anything. I'm just saying, like, Mills, this is a guy who's on his fourth offensive coordinator in 5 years. You know, so he's had a system change almost every season he's been in the NFL. He's been really sharp out of camp. Davis Mills.
What Davis Mills needs to work on is handshakes, individualized handshakes with the with the receivers. I was thinking about that. You know, like, you gotta. There's a part, man. Like, hey, Davis. Look, I know you're kind of composed of Wonder Bread and starch shirts and whatnot, but that's a part of just that's a kind of, you know, like, just getting into the showing that your teammates that you can, you know, cross boundaries and borders and whatnot.
I like your thought. It's a good thought. Now I want you to put yourself in the shoes of one of the receivers.
The receivers, right? Yeah. Great. I got to learn a new handshake for this guy.
When's Keaton Slovis coming over to get a handshake with me here? I'm going to do this for all four quarterbacks. Hell yeah, let's go, Graham Mertz.
I can see Davis doing like a head, shoulders, knees and toes. We'll do it like this, okay, fellas?
Stop, drop, and roll. Davis, why are you rolling around on the ground?
Have you guys ever seen the Macarena? Oh.
I call this the electric slide.
Yeah.
All right. So Davis Mills, another winner. He's had a really good camp. Number one, the defense has dominated the last two practices. So I'm just going to give it to Matt Burke, winner number one, because he gets to coach all these guys.
This is, it's been a recurring theme in D'Amico's press conferences is delegating.
Yeah.
And D'Amico, you know, he had a fun exchange on Saturday where somebody called him a defensive-minded coach, and he said, hey, I'm a head coach. And I think that D'Amico has just come right out and said that that's part of his job, and one of the things he's kind of transitioning into is that his job isn't just to develop players, it's to develop coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And with him, you know, last year, I'm guessing he looks at last year and what happened with the offense, and he's wondered, all right, should I have intervened earlier? Should I have been more heavy-handed in some ways or whatever it might be? And for him to be able to do that, it's also going to require him to put more faith in Matt Burke. So this might become more of a genuine defensive coordinator job for Matt Burke this year than it was in the last 2 years.
Do you think he gives up play calling? D'Amico Ryans. That would be the ultimate.
I think there's a good chance that he does. Yeah, I think that it might be that, you know, D'Amico will still in certain situations, perhaps. You know, most of the play calling, a lot of times, by and large, it's done by committee. You know, different coaches are going to one guy's going to be in charge of goal line, one guy's going to be in charge of third down, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So he might just cede a little bit more of that to Matt Burke this year.
We're doing winners and losers. Losers may be a little strong for the four I'm about to say, but these are at least question marks on the team. Christian Harris still hasn't practiced yet. So I don't know. You know, we're going to talk to Nick Caserio tomorrow. I'm sure Christian Harris will be a topic when we talk to Nick tomorrow at 7:15. I don't know how much we're going to get out of him. It sounds like Christian Harris's injury last year befuddled even people in the building. I don't think they expected him to miss 14 weeks and then be a total non-factor when he came back. He's not on either of the lists. He's not on the PUP list. He's not on the non-football injury list. He's on the roster, and he's been out there for one practice, but not doing anything. And then other than that, it's a lot like last year. That's why this is a little perplexing right now with Christian Harris.
I like when it gets reported that guys are in street clothes, because in your mind it feels like they're you know, wearing their school uniforms or something. But it's usually they're wearing athletic gear, but they're just not. They're not suited up. They're not even wearing a jersey with no shoulder pads on underneath or anything. That's been the world that Christian Harris is in.
Yep.
I've emotionally written him off. I'm not going to depend on him coming back, and I'm kind of on EJ Speed, Jamal Hill, all of these other guys. Let's see how those guys do. And really, for the Texans, the big thing is, can they line up in their base 4-3 more often?
Mm-hmm.
Because when they go against teams like the Ravens or others that line up with multiple tight ends and fullbacks and everything else, there's times where the Texans just, they don't have enough mass and body weight on the football field. They're out there in nickel trying to stop just a battering ram full of human beings that I'd like to be able to feel like you've got three stud linebackers out there. And it's harder without Christian Harris.
It is. John Metchie would be my next one. We're doing winners and losers. Christian Harris, just because he hasn't gotten out there, we don't know what the deal is with him. John Mechie needs to flash in order to make this football team. And I know a lot more goes into it. That's a very media take. He needs to flash. He needs to do things that the media notices in order to make this football team. I know that's not fully true, but he's had a couple of drops in 11-on-11. Other guys have not. Yeah. Nico had a drop the other day. Nico's allowed to have a drop. He's Nico Collins. John Mechie can't be dropping balls in camp. There's too many guys at his position in camp right now.
His only hope at this point is to take an online class at Iowa State and maybe just somehow kind of get into that. You know, I'm an Iowa State guy, too.
That would be funny.
You've got three. So Xavier Hutchinson went to Iowa State. Both the two wide receivers drafted this year went to Iowa State. And either Casario, I think it was Casario that talked about just they like how those guys are taught and prepared at Iowa State.
Casario, yeah.
When Xavier Hutchinson, when you stack him up next to John Mechie, I think the one thing that's usually pretty apparent in preseason games and in training camp practices is that he's integrated into the flow of the offense better than John Mechie.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have the same spacing issues and other things that we've seen with John Mechie. Xavier Hutchinson, I think they feel like they can rely on him more than John Mechie. So I don't know if – I think that his best option for him individually right now be that he can flash in some preseason games and the Texans trade him somewhere. But it's gonna be an uphill slog, especially when they've got all these receivers in the receivers room who are really good special teamers. You've got Braxton Berrios, obviously, and Justin Watson. It is a jam-packed receivers room right now.
It is. It may look a lot like last year where they took out of camp, they took six receivers plus Steven Sims to be the return guy. I could see them doing the same thing this year with Nico, Christian Kirk, the two rookies, Higgins and Noel. Hutchinson, and then Justin Watson would be your six, and I could see them keeping Berrios in that Steven Sims role as a return guy. He's been doing a lot. I mean, he's a former All-Pro returner, Berrios is, and he's been doing a ton of it at camp in special teams drills.
He's fun to watch. He's one of those guys that's just fun to watch move. It doesn't quite look right or human how quickly and crisp, kind of like with Tank Dell.
Yes.
That there's like, oh, that guy just moves differently than these other human beings out here.
See Tank? The video of Tank that I posted on Saturday?
Yes, yeah. I got it. You know what? I felt like you clickbaited me a little bit.
Did I?
Because you said, hey, everybody, I'm going to let Twitter evaluate how Tank Dell is moving.
Yeah.
So I expected to see him, I don't know, just start running a little. Or something. He was walking, but he was walking with a pep in his step and quite briskly.
I dove climbed you on that one.
It wasn't dirty or anything.
Yeah.
It was what it was.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a little bit let down. I thought he was going to run at some point.
I was glad he waved to me as I was filming him. I thought that was nice. It kind of broke the fourth wall for the people watching the video. Like, oh, Tank's waving to us. Thanks, Tank. No braces on his legs. I thought that was good. You know, I'm just trying to take whatever solace I can with Tank.
Do you think he was going to come out there looking like a young Forrest Gump or something? clacking around.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Tank's here. Where is he? I don't know, but I heard him coming. He's over the bridge. Yeah, there was a loud clanking.
That's right. How the braces falling off. Juice Scruggs and Blake Fisher are my last two, and I'm going to kind of combine them. What?
Yeah, the braces was the reference I was
I
making.
Didn't know. I thought you meant No, I thought you were referring to Forrest at Alabama when he was running around. He was an actual football player. That's what I
wasn't talking about him in a dorm room with Jenny or something.
No,
I said a young Forrest Gump.
Yeah. College is young. You meant the little kid Forrest Gump.
You don't think Tank Dell has any endurance with Jenny?
All right, Juice Scruggs and Blake Fisher are my last two. Winners and losers. Juice Scruggs, just because kind of playing the game, Seth, where they're throwing all these permutations of offensive line out there. I definitely don't think he's going to be playing center for this football team. It's been Jarrett Patterson and Jake Andrews getting the run at center. Fisher I have in here just because he's been getting mollywomped by Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter on a daily basis.
He's like a prison. Yeah. It's been rough, man. It's been a prison film out there.
Yeah.
And this makes me retroactively angry about last year. And I've said this multiple times, but a couple of our listeners who were really adamant on the text line last year that guys, why the hell is Juice Scruggs just being penciled in as the starting center last year during training camp. And I said, well, I know they want him to get reps with CJ, this, that, the other thing. I should have been irate last year that they were just assuming, yep, Juice Scruggs is the center, and Kenyon Green's going to be the guard.
Yeah.
From day one of training camp and onward and upward, that's where we'll be. And you look at how ridiculous that is right now. Kenyon Green traded away. Juice Scruggs not sniffing the starting center spot hardly at all during training camp, if at all. And last year, they were cool just saying, yep, these are our guys. And our tackles, just they don't need to practice much at all. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Or Shaq Mason, he doesn't need to practice either.
Yeah.
We're just gonna ride this hodgepodge offensive line into a depressing funk all season long.
Yeah, man. So yeah, Juice Scruggs.
So there's actual competition.
There is actual competition. No, dude. And I don't know. I was talking about this with a buddy yesterday, and I said, I don't know see what you think about this, Seth. If I had to guess, first of all, they're nowhere near identifying who the true ones are going to be going into the season on the offensive line. They're not even close. We know this just based on the behavior at practice. There were four team sessions on Saturday, and they had 10 different combinations of guys running around out there. If I had to guess, the way they're going to use the preseason is that they'll still be mixing and matching the first two preseason games, and then after the first two preseason games will be when they've identified who the ones are, and then the third preseason game will be the chance for those ones to actually get a little bit of game action together.
This is where I have flip-flopped the most, I think, in the way I feel about developing young players and offensive linemen specifically. Forever and ever and ever, going back to Xavier Suofilo, I would say, man, why are they moving this guy around so much? They got to just let him learn how to be a guard, a left guard, whatever it might be. And there you go. I've changed on that. I've been broken in that now I 100% get and see the value that you can have in versatility, even if it means that a guy doesn't develop as quickly. The way that injuries on the offensive line are these days, and with one extra game on the schedule, I would rather have five utility players on the offensive line who are passable than one all-pro dude and one promising rookie and then three other guys that have to play the position that they usually play.
Yeah.
Because we've seen that. We've been through that. If Ariante Ursary can play both left tackle and right tackle, that's more valuable than if he just sits there and learns left tackle and maybe doesn't sniff the field all year long because Cam Robinson is the entrenched starter for at least a year.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotta get the best possible players out there, even if they're not as good as they otherwise might be. For the team matters more than that one individual player's performance at that specific position.
That's a good way to put it. All right, let's get, so those are winners and losers. Some names for you. If you're headed out to practice, if you're going out there today, first padded practice, those are a few guys to keep an eye on who've been flashing a little bit out there at camp. All right, let's do some acknowledgements. Big performances, big news from over the weekend that we'll get to. And we do this every week at Monday. We acknowledge big performances. I will say a name. Ben Gary, our producer, hit the Roman Reigns hotkey, and away we go. Let's start with Janice McNair. We will acknowledge Mrs. McNair for going into the Texans Ring of Honor. It was announced on Saturday by the team that she will be joining her late husband, Bob, as well as J.J. Watt and Andre Johnson in the Ring of Honor. She, of course, was there every step of the way as Bob McNair was bringing football back to Houston. It was certainly a team effort. She is the co-founder of the Houston Texans, does a ton of amazing things in the philanthropy world with the Texans Foundation, a bunch of charities. The Texans have raised $500 million in charitable donations since they became an NFL team back in the early 2000s. Here was Andre Johnson welcoming Mrs. McNair into the Ring of Honor.
I want to say congratulations to Janice McNair on being inducted into the Ring of Honor this year. Man, what an exciting time. Super excited for you to be up there with your husband, Bob McNair. You guys brought football back to the city of Houston, and the city of Houston loves the Houston Texans. I'm truly honored to be up there next to you guys, and I'd like to thank you guys for drafting me, a kid from Miami, and giving me a chance to play in this amazing city and this amazing organization. Congratulations, Mr. McNair.
Kid from Miami. that not Miami of Ohio, University. I like that Andre maintains that humble attitude or whatever.
Yeah, it's funny. A kid from fill in the blank. I feel like there's a certain population threshold. Like that you know, like if it's a big city, you're not like, you know, it needs to be like a small town.
A kid from Dubuque or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the big thing about Janice McNair going in the Hall of Fame on, you know, a team that she owns, obviously, is that there was no part of Janice McNair that would have pushed for this. This is not like Jerry Jones. I could see Jerry Jones putting himself in the Ring of Honor or what have you. It feels very organic and it feels right. And she's probably as flattered as could be.
Yeah, Cal and Hannah met with the media on Saturday out at a camp, and Cal basically said that like she was very humbled by this. Like she doesn't think she should be going into the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, she probably is a little. Yeah, she probably feels embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
And everything. Like no. This is
no, you're important. You're a really important cog in the machine.
The time that Chris Brown, the kicker, and myself, and I think Mark Bruner, we were at Maggiano's the first year of the franchise's existence, and with our wives, mm-hmm. we were just having a nice dinner at Maggiano's, and we saw Bob and Janice McNair sitting over at a table a few down from us, and we were kind of like, you know, you're still kind of nervous. That's the owner. I don't know if he even knows who I am necessarily. And we went over and talked to him and Janice for like 10 minutes. And they were telling us about where there was a dollar beer night at a barbecue place somewhere and everything. It was just like, oh, I feel like I'm talking to my grandparents.
That's awesome.
This is really, really cool. Yeah, they've just, they really... And Mrs. McNair especially has just always been so incredibly down to earth.
Yeah.
And nothing like you might expect or fear out of a billionaire in River Oaks.
Right.
I've just never once gotten that impression from her. She's just a delightful and awesome lady.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's funny. Knew where all the dollar beer was. They see the cynic in me would have been like, huh, I can't wait for my next contract to get negotiated. Penny pinching beer drinkers.
Well, it wasn't. You know, the thing about the McNairs, it wasn't like Bob McNair was a stockbroker on Wall Street or something that decided to plop himself down in Houston and buy a football
self-made.
Team. He was very much, you know, his kids went to public school, and it wasn't. They were still normal people.
Yep. I want to quick acknowledge whoever decided to put the quarterbacks in the H-Town Blue practice jerseys on Saturday. I think I know who was part of that decision. I have a feeling that was purposeful. I have a feeling that anytime that the Texans can use the H-Town Blue in a semi-sanctioned way, you know, like these practice jerseys, this is something that probably they can do that's off the grid of needling Amy Adams Strunk.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because they have to get Amy Adams Strunk to sign off on all the other stuff.
Let's
push the envelope. University of Houston, get an acknowledgement there, too, because they just flat out have said...
don't care.
University of Houston says, go ahead, sue us.
Come and get me.
I love it.
Yeah. I got people with balls in this town, man. Yeah,
yes,
hell yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Okay, Rashawn Slater... tackle for the Chargers. Local kid. Went to Clements High School down in Fort Bend County. He is now the highest paid offensive lineman in the history of the NFL. He's with the Chargers. He signed a four-year, $114 million deal, $92 million guaranteed. We always love to see local kids make good, and he's had a nice run here. Now, he's on. He's injured right now, but he's going to be ready to go for the season. $28.5 million a year. That's the highest average annual value. Seth, I alerted Commanders fans yesterday that anytime there's an offensive lineman that breaks through the glass ceiling of highest paid O-linemen, be on the lookout the next 24 hours for the side-eye emoji or a money bag emoji or something from our good friend Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe he's changed his ways in that regard.
Yeah.
Maybe he understands a little bit of the perception out there. I don't know.
We'll find out.
The other big contract, Jake Ferguson got a new contract by the Cowboys, to which... Jerry Jones was rewarded with a cascade of boos out of training camp.
I hadn't
heard that until this morning when I was doing my solo show at 6 a.m. And Maggie and Perloff were playing it. My God, it was not just a smattering of boos. They booed the hell out of Jerry Jones.
Yeah. It's just funny. Like, the news breaks that Jake Ferguson, he's like the seventh highest paid tight end now, too. Like, it's not chump change. And there's Micah Parsons, like, you know, arguably the best, most impactful defensive player in football in the conversation, just sitting around waiting for an offer. He hasn't gotten an offer yet. It's just crazy.
He hasn't even gotten an offer. Well, meanwhile, Jerry Jones has claimed previously that, oh, yeah, we've already got a deal in place and it's been agreed to.
Yeah.
They've been handling this about as poorly as you could, and this is from an organization that has already – they're in the top four or five, the power rankings of bad moves or mishandling in-house contract restructures.
Yeah, it's I'm glad it's their problem. All right, let's get a couple more in here because we have Baseball Hall of Fame inductions this weekend. Billy Wagner, I want to make sure he gets acknowledged before we get done with the segment. Inducted into the Hall of Fame yesterday, had a really good speech. I think hit all the touch points in terms of who he thanked. And his story is incredible. I know all the Houston fans know this already, but I don't know how many baseball fans knew with Billy Wagner going into the Hall of Fame. He's not a natural lefty. He broke his arm playing football as a kid. He broke his right arm, and he started throwing with his left arm. And lo and behold, he can throw 100 miles an hour with his left arm. Eventually, he could throw 100 miles an hour. Yeah.
That part of it, he's got an incredible story in a lot of ways. And then also, he's one of those guys, too, that analytics has benefited in that people – he was actually underappreciated at the time.
Very much.
Now, when the baseball people and the writers look at the way they evaluate relievers and they can use more of the advanced stuff, that he was even way more dominant than – people gave him credit for at the time, and people gave him plenty of credit at the time. So it's cool to see kind of his career get reassessed.
Yes,
and not just going in the Hall of Fame, but with kind of a more emphatic stamp of approval.
It took all 10 tries to get him in. You know, he got in on the last try, and I think that's a great point, Seth. If his candidacy had started, say, now, I think he'd be in by 2030. He'd be in the first 5 years because he is so dominant. His career ERA plus is 187, which means he's 87% better than whatever the average has been over the course of his career. So that's the second best all time. For any pitcher with over 900 innings pitched, that's the second best. Nobody strikes out more guys in terms of frequency than Billy Wagner, period.
That's one of the biggest things, too. And it's where sometimes the analytics, as much as it gets annoying at times, sometimes it reaffirms what you feel in your gut and with your eyeballs. Like, oh, you know what? We should have valued strikeouts more back in the day than we did. So now it's appreciated. And you're like, as a fan, you're like, I like watching strikeouts.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good about it. It makes me feel really, really good when I watch a guy strike a bunch of people out.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, math.
I should have paid attention in math. Only D3 player ever to make the Hall of Fame. So he's the first one and the only one. Ferrum College in Virginia.
No kidding.
I think in Virginia. He's from Virginia. I know that. Yeah, only D3 player to ever make the Hall of Fame. How about that? So there's that. So Billy Wagner. Ichiro Suzuki also went in to the Hall of Fame yesterday. And what we found out is Ichiro's got jokes. We know that he spent most of his career in Seattle, but he spent his twilight years in baseball with the Marlins. Here was Ichiro thanking the Marlin folks that showed up in Cooperstown for him.
And to the Miami Marlins, I appreciate David Sampson and Mike Hill for coming today. Honestly, when you guys called to offer me a contract for 2015, I have never heard of your team.
Keep in mind, They'd won two World Series. They'd won two more World Series. They'd been to two more World Series the Marlins had than the team that Ichiro made his bones with in Seattle. Seattle's still the only team never to make a World Series. It was a bold move to take a shot at the Marlins there in your Hall of Fame speech.
I got to acknowledge I need to acknowledge the Japanese language, man. I got to get back on my Japanese. I got to get back on my Japanese lessons because it's so much fun. But, you know, I can't do a Japanese accent without
you're done.
Without
I know.
Sounding really, really bad. Unless you're actually good at speaking Japanese.
Yeah.
I watched Shogun, and I think it was on Hulu.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh. It's so much fun to try to. I just want to be able to say
before everything. Yeah.
Yes.
Is your lead in?
Yes.
Is your lead in? It is. That's some gravitas. That's good. We got a text message. I meant to mention this in headlines. We just ran out of time. Did you see that Andre Johnson's house got broken into this weekend?
I did. I didn't think it quite would be a good topic for acknowledgement.
No, there's a texter who's bringing it up. to criminals. No, that's not what we're doing. No, we will acknowledge Lil Kiki, though. Do we have that, Ben? Do we have Lil Kiki?
Should we acknowledge him for breaking the news that Andre Johnson's house was broken into?
He's a good friend. He's begging for the trinkets that were taken to get brought back to Andre Johnson. You know, I think he's.
I wonder if Andre, was that sanctioned by Andre, though?
I don't know.
Might not want it, that business out there.
I'm acknowledging Lil Kiki's loyalty. How's that? He's a loyal friend.
And it sounds like or looks like it might have been an inside job of some sort. And it's very important for the people of Houston to know I did not do it. I didn't do it. One time we were in the Jaguars locker room, something went missing from somebody's locker.
Yeah.
And there was an equipment. Guys were sitting around for like as everybody discovered it. And there was an equipment manager, an assistant equipment manager, who immediately said, "It wasn't me. I didn't do it." And everybody looks at him like, can't be this easy. Lo and behold, they figured out that he was the guy who did it.
Holy crap, dude. Like,
wow, you are really bad at this. You should consider not doing this again because you are not going to get away with it. Yeah.
All right, Ben, I know we're up against it. We'll play Andre's good friend Lil Kiki before the show's out. I've got I got a lot of players I'm looking forward to seeing that we're looking forward to seeing today out at padded practice. One ahead of all others. And I got to see how this goes with the padded practice in his new team. We will I'll tell you who it is coming up next.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. It is Texans training camp, padded practice, first one of training camp today. Nick Caserio will be, this time tomorrow, he will be chatting with us. We will chat with him starting at 7:15 tomorrow on the show. So our first really sort of in-season, in training camp 2025 appearance with Nick Caserio, and we'll have five practices to dig into with him, and plenty of news surrounding the team right now. Just to pay off, because I acknowledge Lil Kiki, rapper, famous Houston rapper, and friend of Andre Johnson. If you stole Andre Johnson's stuff from his house, give it back, all right?
This is not like a car. This ain't like a jersey hanging around. This represents his career and his family for real. Let's come together as a Houston family and put our ears to the street, put our nose to the ground, and find out who got these items, and let's recover them and get them back to our brother. They represent much, much more than some money or something like that. He family, we family. Let's get that dig. Big all right. Salute, Houston.
Yeah, there you go.
Was there like some kind of sting operation?
Yeah.
Somebody approaches you and they say, hey, I've got this Andre Johnson, this or that or such. Call the authorities and get in on it. Yeah, just have it. You can set up a sting.
That's right.
You can wear a wire and everything if you want.
I got my best.
I'm sure whoever did it isn't like a. Listen. The genuinely scary criminals that did this, or the genuinely scary criminals aren't going to be doing this type of thing and then trying to fence it on the street or anything.
Right.
Like this is some jackass. Okay.
Yep.
Whoever stole this stuff is a jackass, and you can do the whole. You can be part of a sting operation and getting justice for Andre
Johnson. That's right, and get at least one jackass off the streets. Let's go, Houston.
Yeah.
All right, the one player that I am most looking forward to seeing out here at a padded practice, especially after the podcast that he's done where he's talked about practices at other places that he's stopped at along the way, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I am very much looking forward to seeing noted practice line stepper C.J. Gardner-Johnson practice with his teammates today in pads.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson, when he was on the pivot, told a great story about when he was up in Detroit and they were playing the Chiefs. He basically said, hey, don't be scared of the red. Go in and you gotta take it to these guys. Punch them in the mouth.
Yeah.
And they ended up beating the Chiefs in the regular season. It was kind of a
transformative
moment for that team, realizing like, okay, yeah, we actually are a real team now. And he's talked about how he thinks that some of the issues that he had in Philadelphia might have been that he went after Saquon Barkley and practiced a little too hard a couple times. I don't think D'Amico is not going to be as upset about a defensive player screwing up practice by being a little too physical as much as, an offensive-minded coach like Nick Sirianni might be.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Okay, well, let's skip to D'Amico then, Ben, here real quick. That's a good thought about D'Amico, and maybe a tell here that C.J. Gardner-Johnson is already on the good side of the head coach. This was out of practice on Saturday. Jane Slater was out there with the NFL Network interviewing D'Amico Ryans. And yeah. D'Amico's son, MJ, was kind of hanging around nearby. And they called him over in the middle of the interview. And they asked him, who's your player to watch out of training camp?
He is literally your spitting image.
Talking about my twin.
Do you think Dad's going to have a good year?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like it.
What's one player for the fans to watch?
C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Oh, nice one. Nice one. Nice one.
I love this. So this guy's going to be a scouter coach one day.
Yes, he knows more about it than me. When I'm asking him about players, like he's like, Daddy, you don't know that? You're a head coach in the NFL. I was like, no, son.
You're cutting up tape for Dad?
That's good.
He probably knows a lot of the various stories about C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yes.
He's probably consumed the content.
Yeah.
And he knows. A lot of times, yeah, you'll hear story like well-known story when you're in the film room all day long and everything. You know, D'Amico's not out there reading all the various blogs necessarily,
right,
where his son might be.
Yep.
So his son might know more about C.J. Gardner-Johnson than D'Amico himself when it comes to the total picture. So I'm excited about C.J. Gardner-Johnson and just how he potentially fits in and meshes from a personality standpoint or just the way he goes about his business. He might have found the right spot for him and with that group of defensive backs that it might end up being a really good fit.
It might.
We'll see.
Well, here's Kamari Lassiter. You posted this video of Kamari Lassiter. Kamari did media on Saturday and was asked about adding C.J. Gardner-Johnson to this group.
Obviously, for one, he's a great football player. He's been playing ball for a long time. And just his mentality, the way he loves the game. Like, you can say what you want to say about C.J., but he really loves the game of football, and it shows every day. Like, You can see how he attacks plays, how he wants to know, how he's asking questions, how whenever we're on the field, he's communicating. He's excited for guys whenever we're making plays. I'm excited for him whenever he's making plays. It's just like just adding another dog, like you said, to the back end. That's never bad.
And he talks. You can tell, dude, yeah. He talks. He's yapping out there.
Yeah, I think the physicality of, what was it? Oh, I was watching the first episode of the Texans Hard Knocks, and it was when they were up in Richmond. Mm-hmm. They had that little segment. Remember when they were up there scrimmaging the Commanders?
Yeah.
And they were getting into it. There were scuffles all over the place.
Yeah.
There was a shot of Mike Vrabel on the sideline, just disgusted. It was on the second day of practice, because the first 2 days of practice, it sounded like Washington was really putting it to the Texans. And Vrabel is sitting there saying, this is the nicest team I've ever been around. This is the nicest freaking team, in a bad way.
Yeah.
Like he was saying it as, we got a bunch of nice guys out here. And he was disgusted. I feel like Mike Vrabel might be more pleased with the composition of this defense.
You think?
You know, right now.
Yes.
Yeah, then he maybe was with that defense. I feel like Mike Vrabel would think, yeah, all right, yeah, these are my kinds of guys.
Yeah.
These guys are not going to, they're going to go down swinging.
And they're actually good. You know, they're not just a bunch of trash talkers or, you know, line steppers when it comes to hits in practice. Like, they got a bunch of good football players out there.
And unlike Mike Vrabel, D'Amico Ryans was actually a good defensive coordinator in his first year as a coach with the Texans.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Vrabel had one of the worst defenses in the league. It wasn't his fault.
Well,
they were banged up that year.
The league gave him a pass because he wound up a head coach. At least the Titans did. He was a head coach of the Titans the very next season. So they were clearly they gave him a mulligan in that 2017 season. All right, so padded practice today. We're hoping for an Astros win tonight. Let's go. At the very least, score first. Okay, I'm tired of this. Is one of the streaks I'm most tired of. 18 straight games, the opposition scores first. That's incredible.
It's like when the Texans hadn't scored a touchdown on the first series.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many games was it, Sean?
You had
the streak going.
I did. I've got the numbers. It was crazy. And Deshaun Watson was the quarterback. That was the crazy part of the whole thing. They had a good quarterback. All right, so we are done. We're going to hand it over to Texans Training Camp Live. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and lots of blood and violence to you, Sean.
Thank you, sir.
On this first day of padded practices.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. And use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community with countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus. You must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.